Hey guys, welcome back to the Sunday Afternoon Podcast. My name is Jennifer, and it's just me today, guys. Jelana's not going to be in this episode. We are going to be doing solo episodes. So this will be mine, and hers will be coming shortly after this. And last season, we didn't do solo episodes, but we did one where we basically interviewed the other person. But this time we wanted to just do a completely solo episode. So this is exciting. This is new. This is weird. This is different. I'm like literally by myself right now. So it just feels weird. I don't have anyone to like bounce anything off of. So this should be interesting. It actually really does feel kind of lonely. So Jelana, I know you're listening to this, so hello. Can't wait to record again together. it's actually Monday right now when I'm recording this, and it's Monday morning. It's like 9:30. I don't know why I'm giving you guys the timestamp, but I just felt like sharing that because it's a very relaxing morning so far. Woke up, worked out, ate breakfast, had my quiet time. It's been a really good morning, so I thought it would be good to go ahead and just record this episode now while I was just feeling really, really good. So this episode is going to be about witnessing in the workplace, and this is something that I've struggled with a lot. So I think it's kind of funny that I'm doing an episode on it, but I think it's important, and I think it's something that we all should consider. And it's not really even just like witnessing in the workplace. It could really just be honestly anywhere, but I will be focusing more on kind of just like in the actual workspace. But of course, like I say, it can apply to so many different places that you're in. But let me get into the segment. Loving it, letting go. Wow, I forgot the title. I literally forgot the title. Love and Let Go? Oh, goodness. This is hard doing this by myself. But Love and Let Go, I think that's what it's called. So I am letting go my wireless headphones. I am actually so sad about this because I've been using these headphones now for a while. And I got to the gym. This was like maybe last week. I get to the gym. I turn them on. And usually when I click the on button, it says like power on, and then it says like a little pause, has a pause, and then it says connected, and it goes boop boop. So I'm like, okay, great, so it's connected. But this time I turned it on, it said power on, and long pause, never connected. I was like, excuse me? So I turn it off, turn it back on, turn my phone off, turn it back on, and it just was not connecting. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I was like on the bike, and you know, if you're at the gym and your headphones die or something, it's just like the worst thing. Like, it makes you literally want to go home. It's just like, I can't do this anymore. So that was really disappointing. And I don't know, I tried again the next day, it still wasn't connecting. I have no idea what happened. It was just like overnight, it just decided to not connect. I'm not sure if it's because now I have an iPhone. I did have an Android. I switched over to an iPhone. But I've been using those headphones with this phone. So I have no idea. I have no idea why it's just deciding to not connect. I use the, I don't know the full name, but the title is like U8 Wireless Buds or something like that. U8 Wireless Buds. I don't know, but I've used them before. They always work well for me, so I don't know what's going on. But if you guys have any wireless headphone recommendations or wireless earbud recommendations, let your girl know, because I'm gonna need some. Anyway, something that I am loving lately is my new work schedule. So everything has pros and cons, obviously. So I'm just going to talk about why I love it. And I get into also kind of why it's also a challenge. But I'm a job recruiter. I think I've said that before. And of course, my job is to help people find jobs. And a lot of the positions that I'm looking to fill right now are West Coast. So it doesn't make any sense for me to start working at like 7:30 a.m. when that's like 4:30 a.m. for the West Coast people. So I kind of just flexed my schedule and started working around like 10:30, 11 o'clock. That way I can, you know, be able to talk to people on the West Coast. So that's been really good because I feel like I've just been having really good mornings where, I mean, I still wake up early, you know, some people would say. For me, it's kind of sleeping in. Like, I used to wake up at 4:30. Now I'm waking up at like 5:30, or sometimes 6, which is amazing. So I'm like sleeping in. My mornings are just a lot more slower. I feel like I can kind of just have a second to just like process that I'm awake and that the day is starting versus like go. Which I don't mind kind of the go. I guess I'm just used to it, but it has just been nice to have a slower morning and I can have my quiet time in the morning versus having it during my lunch break. The only con is that I'm working a lot later into the day and I get tired around like 4:30. But I'm working a lot later into the day, so that cuts into like, you know, dinner time with family and stuff. So that's the only downfall. But other than that, I've really been kind of enjoying it. And I feel like it's caused me to be more flexible. I was talking about this in another episode. Something I was letting go was letting go of like being so structured and systematic, which I think is important, but I also feel like there is room, you know, for flexibility as well. But I feel like it's caused me to be just a bit more flexible. Like I have to, you know, I've had to rethink my mornings. I have to rethink, you know, what time I eat my meals and things like that. And so it's just been really, it's been good all around. So I've really been enjoying my new work schedule, and this won't be forever. At some point, I'm not going to be working with this client anymore, so it'll just kind of go back to where it was before, with me working like in the early morning into like mid-afternoon. But so far it's great. All right, so let's hop into the episode. It's so funny because me and Jelana, we were like outlining episodes of what we should, you know, talk about. And I was working on one outline, she was working on another outline, and then we kind of were just like comparing notes. And I was working on this one here, witnessing in the workplace, and she was kind of like, it seems like you have a lot to say about that, and I don't have a lot to say about that, so maybe you should just do your solo episode on that. So here we are. And I actually didn't realize that I had a lot to say about it. But I think the reason why I do is just because, you know, like I was saying, it is something that I have struggled with. And it's not something I feel like I've been the greatest at. And it's something that I'm still not the greatest at. But I feel like I've just been way more intentional over the past, I guess, like year or so with just being more mindful that I have a purpose and that the Lord has left me on this earth for a reason. And honestly, I can't say that I've become better at it because like, oh, now I know how to, you know, organize the gospels for people to understand in such a way that is life-changing for them. No, I think really what it's been is just the Lord really has been revealing himself to me. And I really feel like I've been just more intentional in my relationship with the Lord and getting to know him to the point where this, I guess, like an overflow, if you will, or something that I see as so exciting and so important that I feel the need to want to tell others about it. And that I want to reflect God in my actions, in my words, how I treat people. So that's obviously going to spill over into my workplace. So that's the only reason why I feel like I have quote unquote gotten better at it. So anyway, I think the reason why it's so important that we do, I guess, like talk about the Lord in our workplaces and honestly anywhere is just because we literally have a purpose. Like as believers, we have a purpose. You know, God didn't die for our sins, give us the Holy Spirit, go back to heaven, and leave us here just to kind of hang out and be in a holy huddle. I mean, he wants us to talk about him to other people. And the thing is, though, like, it's honestly, it can be scary because, you know, I really feel like it's so polarizing. It's polarizing, and people obviously don't have the same beliefs as you as you do. So it can be challenging and it can be scary. But I feel like when we get caught up in that fear and we actually just kind of sit in that fear, we get stuck. And, you know, other people can't really experience this great thing that you are experiencing in your life. Like, I think about some of the things that I enjoy. Like, I really enjoy working out. And I tell people about it. Like, I tell people that, you know, I enjoy working out. I tell them that I used to be a personal trainer. Like, I talk about fitness. And I don't bat an eye about it. But sometimes when it comes to talking about Jesus, it's just like, oh, like, And the struggle with that is, like I was saying, it's not because, oh, I'm necessarily afraid or, like, I'm, like, petrified. It's more so just that I don't want to feel like I'm offending anyone, or I don't want to feel like, you know, I'm trying to push my agenda on somebody else, because that's not really the case. But I really feel like it's something that we should do, because something that we should do is because, like I said, we have a purpose, and Jesus lived on purpose. You know, he was, like, legit about what his Father told him to do. Like, I just really, I really like reading through the Gospels, because Jesus was, like, he was not playing any games. Like, he came with an agenda and was about that agenda from the beginning to the end. You know, it wasn't like he was just bit bopping around, hanging out. Like, he was literally here for a purpose. He came to fulfill that purpose, did what he had to do, and went back to heaven, was like, all right. You know, so I feel like if we have that same mentality, we will go into different places and different spaces, you know, and actually think about, okay, what is my mission here? Like, what is my purpose here? Like, what is the business that God wants me to take care of in this space here? And I think what's helping me to realize the reason why it's so important is that because the Lord really does strategically place you places. Like, I get so fascinated by how God is so detail oriented. You know, he really is so detail oriented, and he puts things in place for a reason. And he really doesn't just do things just to do things. It, like, everything literally has a function, has a purpose. And that, for me, it feels so good to me. Like, it just makes me feel so, like, secure that God is really just doing things for a reason, and not just being so willy-nilly. I think I've said this before, but I'm an Enneagram. I identify with the Enneagram 2, and I have a Wing 1. And I know Wing 1s are very, like, kind of systematic, structured. So that speaks to that side of me. It's just like, oh, yes, like, God is structured, and he's got everything figured out. It's funny because I've been reading through, I was reading through Judges, and I was reading about Gideon. And something really struck me about Gideon's story, because I don't know if you know about Gideon, but, you know, the Lord called him out and he wanted him to lead the Israelites and things of that nature. But it's in Judges 7, I believe it is. But Gideon was afraid of actually going out and doing what the Lord told him to do. But the Lord told him to, like, hey, if you are afraid, go out into the other camp, the enemy camp, and you're going to hear, you'll be able to be encouraged. And I just find it so interesting, because I'm going to read it. Judges 7:13, it says, Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his friend about a dream. And the man started to go into detail about his dream. I won't read the whole thing because it's kind of a lot, but it's Judges. I would just read all of chapter 7, honestly, just to get full context. But I think about small things like that. Like, Gideon showed up right at the time as his man was about to share this dream with this other man. And that dream encouraged Gideon. Like, it made Gideon feel like, okay, God really is about me. He's for me. Let's go do this. So small things like that, it's like God, like, legit is about, you know, strategically placing people. And whatever the case may be, like, maybe God literally just created this man at this moment for Gideon to hear. Or maybe, like, the man literally was walking up as Gideon was walking up. Whatever, however it happened, it's all strategic. And I was also thinking about that story in Acts, where Philip was basically spreading the gospel across like the region, I guess, if you will. And this was like right as there was all this persecution in the body of believers, and they were all kind of fleeing. So it's another passage. It's in Acts 8. I'll read verse 4. It says, "But the believers who had fled Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the good news about Jesus." And then in verse 5, it says, "Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah." But then if you jump over to verse 26, it says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south, down the desert road that leads to Jerusalem, to Gaza.' So he did, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia." So the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, and in his carriage he was reading aloud the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk alongside the carriage." Now, let me just kind of frame this. Like, Philip is about the Lord's business at this point. He's going around talking about Jesus to people, and people are getting saved. And now the Lord is sending him. He's sending him out into this dirt road down by Jerusalem, that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And on this road, he meets this man. He meets this eunuch who is reading from the Bible. Now, it's like, okay, well, that's cool. But then when you hear about what happens next, it's so captivating, because the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk alongside the carriage." And then verse 30, it says, "Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So he asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And the man said, 'How can I, when there is no one to instruct me?' And he begged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him." Like, excuse me? Like, to me, that is so interesting. Like, the fact that the Lord strategically placed Philip in that moment as a eunuch was walking by, as a eunuch was reading that passage. Like, you can't make that stuff up. Like, God is so strategic in where he places us. So when I think about, like, witnessing to people, not, like, again, not just in the workplace, but in general, I think about all the details it took for me to get to where I am, and for the other person to get to where they're to get to where they are. Even down to, like, who you're sitting next to at work. Like, God is all up in that too. Like, I think about, like, you know, my workspace and just who the Lord has placed me near and who he's placed me around. I don't think any of that is just like this is just a new seating chart. We're going to kind of just place people where they are. I think about all the people who were hired, all the people who were fired. I think about me, myself, like, leaving and moving out of Georgia, moving here into North Carolina, me not even knowing what this job was until they interviewed me, me getting into this job, you know, all the small details. And then here I am sitting next to somebody. Like, do you really think that was by mistake, Jennifer? I'm asking myself. Like, it's not by mistake. Like, the Lord is very strategic. So I don't want to just squash that. And I don't want to just, like, minimize that. It's all for a purpose. And I always think about, like, when I'm going into work, like, Lord, help my eyes to just be open. Like, help my ears to be open. Help my heart to be open to whatever it is that you're doing right now. Like, let me just join in the work that you're doing. Like, let me not miss out. Like, where can I be of service? How can I help people? And it's really because I want people to see, and I want people to understand who God is. Now, of course, like I said, it's a challenge because it could be polarizing, and you don't want to feel like you're stepping on people's toes. But, you know, it's so easy, I feel like, to kind of just sit on that excuse and never actually do anything about it. But then sometimes I think about, let me see. You know, okay, you know how sometimes you have something, well, this may more so identify with ladies. So if you're a man listening to this, so sorry. This may identify with you, but maybe not. But okay, ladies, you know how sometimes you have that white stuff that comes up on your lips because maybe you put on too much chapstick or something and it starts clumping up in the corners and the cracks of your mouth and it's just sitting there. And the thing for me is, if I ever have anything on my face, anything in my teeth, on my shirt, let me know. Like, obviously, I didn't walk out the house like this. I didn't intend to look this way. I didn't put this white stuff on my lips to look this way. Let me know so I can wipe it off. I never understand that. I think I got like halfway through a day one time where, oh no, no, no. I left my house one day with a clip in my hair. I have locks and I was retwisting my hair that morning. So I left the clip in my hair on accident. I drove all the way to work, got to work, had a full conversation with two girls at the front desk. I'm talking about a full conversation, not like a, oh, hey, good morning, guys, you know, see you later. A full conversation. Another one of the personal trainers who were working there, he came up. We had a full conversation. This was probably like 45 minutes. I get to my office, I look in the mirror, and I see I have two clips in my hair. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Why didn't anyone say anything? Like, you're not going to offend me. So I took the clips out of my hair and went back downstairs. And I was like, why did y'all tell me I had clips in my hair? And they're like, oh, well, I thought it was just like what you wanted to do. I was like, you as a woman should know I didn't mean to leave the house like that. Oh, this stuff cracks me up. But I just think it's funny. But yeah, that's the same way I think about like witnessing to people. It's like people don't know what they don't know and they don't know what they're missing out on. But you do because you have the truth. You know how good it feels to feel that sense of love, to feel that sense of peace just throughout your day, to feel that joy. You know what it feels like to be forgiven. You know what it feels like to have lived one way that was not fruitful, to now be living in this way that's so abundant and fulfilling. Like, you have that experience, you have that truth. Other people need to hear that. Like, other people need to know. And it really, I don't know, it breaks my heart sometimes to think about people who are around me, who are in my space, who may not know the Lord. And it hurts me because I get so focused on myself. I get so focused on my fears. I get focused on my excuses. And I'm not looking to the betterment of them. I'm looking at, oh, well, I don't want to offend them. Like, this person is on their way to actual hell. Like, stop and think for a second. This person is on their way to an eternity in hell. And you have the truth within you to let them know how to get out of that situation. But you're keeping it to yourself. That's sad. It's sad and it's selfish and it's not fair. I don't know. That's the thing. I'm talking to myself right now because, like, it really is a struggle. It really is. And I was thinking about the woman at the well. We've been reading John at church, and I was just thinking about how she had this encounter with the Lord at the well, and the Lord spoke to her, and she immediately went back to tell the people in her town what happened with her. She wasn't waiting for herself to, like, know more information. She wasn't waiting to, you know, get an outline together. She wasn't waiting to, you know, think of like six comebacks if someone had a question she didn't know. You know, she didn't wait. All she did was she had an encounter. She felt the presence of the Lord and she acted and she did. And the crazy thing to me about that is that this woman was literally already being ostracized by the community. They already didn't like her. They already was, you know, putting her out. But she still went back and she talked to them. Like, to me, that is so, it's encouraging and it's convicting because, like, I think it's hard enough to be, like, rejected, but to be rejected and then still try to put yourself back in the situation of being around them, that's hard. But she was like, listen, something amazing has happened to me and you all need to know what just happened to me. Like, so, you know, I think about that. So the excuse of rejection and polarizing, yeah, I get it. I understand it. But I feel like we can't just rest in that and let that just be our excuse. And I also feel like it's a challenge because we don't recognize the miracle that is salvation. Like, we don't truly understand the gravity of what happened to us when we gave our lives to Christ, when he died for our sins. Like, we legit have a new home. Like, we have a new identity. Like, our souls, like, I don't know, like, shifted. I don't know how to put it into words, but, like, that was a miracle. Like, we were on our way to death and in hell, and God totally flipped that around for us. Like, that's good news. But I feel like we don't share that with others because we don't understand the weight of that. And I feel like the only way to really get a grasp of that is to spend time getting to know him. Like, I feel like when you get to know him, things just become a lot more weightier. Like, you really start to understand just, like, what God's about and why it's important to talk to him. And another funny thing, though, like, as I'm thinking about this, I also think the reason why it may be a challenge for some of us is just because we literally, and no shame, no judgment, we really just don't like the people we work with for whatever reason. Like, maybe you're not a fan of their personality, or, you know, they just annoy you, so you don't even want to talk to them. Like, that's legit a thing. Like, you don't even want to talk to them. But can you imagine, like, if God went to the cross with excuses and just like, you know what, I'm going to die only for like a third of y'all because some of y'all get on my nerves. Like, could you imagine if God had that mentality? That would be crazy. So, I mean, yes, that's a challenge, but I feel like, again, sitting in those excuses is not going to get us or anyone else anywhere good. So how do we do it? How do we actually witness in the workplace? What does that actually look like? You know, we have the excuses. We kind of wrestle with the excuses. But then what do we do to actually overcome that and actually live that out and walk it out? Now, of course, there's an obvious, or I don't know if it's obvious, but, you know, one thing you could do is start a Bible study. And that can be challenging because you may be talking with people who have no idea who Jesus is, or maybe they do know who Jesus is and they've already made a deliberate choice to not, you know, follow him, and they just have no desire for religion. So starting a Bible study can be a challenge, but, you know, I feel like there's so many ways you can kind of, I guess, quote unquote, spin it. You can say, hey, would you like to do lunch, or do you want to have lunch, or can I talk to you about, or can I share with you something that I was reading and that was really exciting to me? You know, I think it's always easy to talk about books that you're reading. I know a lot of people who I'm around, we talk about books a lot. And they may ask you, oh, okay, well, what are you reading? Like, oh, actually, I'm reading Exodus in the Bible right now. And, you know, I'm reading about how Moses, you know, did X, Y, Z, blah, 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 whatever. And I feel like from there, that's a great way to kind of just start conversation. And that can even lead into them, you know, asking questions. And then from there, maybe a Bible study could start. It's a possibility, but it's going to take intentionality for sure. I don't think you can kind of just stumble upon a Bible study. But something else that I feel like you could do is literally just be love. Like, be a reflection of Christ in the workplace. Like, think about how patient God is with you. Think about how loving he is with you. And just be that to other people. Think about how gracious God is with you. Think about how much mercy he extends to you on a day-to-day basis. You know, there may be people who wrong you in the workplace. Like, literally just, they go out of their way to make your day miserable. Or they talk bad about you to other people. You know, it's easy to get caught up in gossiping and, you know, trying to retaliate. But I think when our focus is Christ, and if our focus is to be a reflection, that's going to be really impactful for those who are watching, because people are indeed watching. So I think if we are intentionally being a reflection of Christ in the workplace, that is powerful. It's impactful, especially when we're in a culture where people retaliate. People, like, legit retaliate. People are legit mean to each other. But if you're living in a way that's opposite, they're not going to understand it. They're really not. I think even to that, another thing you could do is just, like, do your work in excellence. Like, instead of rushing through your work and kind of just submitting things that are sloppy or, you know, not your best, take time, you know, take time and actually do your work with excellence. You know, don't take an extended lunch break just because you can, because no one's checking you. No, take your hour lunch break or however long it is, 30-minute lunch break, and come back and do your work with diligence. You know, come in and put your phone down and actually get to work. Show your bosses that you're serious about what you're doing. If you have team meetings or something, you know, contribute to the team. You know, give your ideas. Find a way to help a coworker and, you know, help them out with the work that they're doing as well. But really just be an asset. You know, I think that could be overlooked. It's just like, well, you know, I'm just going to do my work well. But no, I think God is pleased by that, you know, because since he placed you there strategically, like we've said, you know, you actually giving your all in that workplace with that work, that's big. And, you know, people and your bosses, your coworkers are going to see that. They're going to recognize that. So, you know, I think there's so many other, you know, obviously practical things you could do in your workplace to actually witness and to show people that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is real and he's here. So, you know, just starting a Bible study, being love, and just doing working excellence are all really practical things you could do to reflect Christ. So if you obviously have any more ideas with that, or things that you've done, I would really love to know kind of what you do, because I need some suggestions as well. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning into this solo episode. Just me. I hope this was a benefit to you. And, you know, I really do want us to walk away understanding that the Lord has a purpose for us, and he has strategically placed us. And then not only that, he has equipped us. So wherever space you find yourself in, when we're walking by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do anything in his strength. Anything that he's called us to do, we can do it. And one of those things that he's called us to do is to talk about him to other people. So if you have a fear of not sounding educated enough, or, you know, you're fearful of, you know, just kind of being rejected, God has equipped us and he's with us and we have nothing to fear. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Please follow us on our social media. You can find us on Facebook. You can search for the Sunday Afternoon Podcast. You can also find us on Instagram. You can look for Sunday Afternoon Podcast. Just search for that. You can follow us on our personal Instagrams. Jelana's is, she's not here, so I'm going to do hers for her. You can find her at Jelana Jones. You can spell her name J-I-L-L-A-N-A Jones. And you can find me on my personal Instagram, GETFITWJEN. I honestly haven't posted in months, but I really do want to get back to posting, because I do kind of miss just sharing, you know, fitness related things and health related things. That's, you know, really exciting for me. But anyway, again, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you next Sunday. Bye, guys.